Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Hebrews 10:39, "But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans. Joining me today from Texas is Bruce Kendrick, adoptive dad and Executive Director of Embrace. Embrace is a Christian organization that equips the church to reclaim the care of foster, adopted, and orphaned children. Welcome, Bruce.
Thanks, Sandra. I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Oh, same here. So you and your wife, Denise, have 9 kiddos, 4 homegrown and 5 adopted. How did that come about? How did God build your family?
Yeah, we got started. When we first were married early on, we had moved into our first home and had an extra room. We just had one biological daughter at that point, and felt like really all of the resources God had given us should be used for His kingdom and His purposes, and didn't particularly feel called necessarily to foster or adopt, but knew that there were kids out there that needed a family and a home and a place to be safe. And so we started fostering just one child at a time, usually younger kids initially. And then as we had more biological kids and as God provided and we were able to move into the next home, it had another bedroom. And so we were able to open our home to care for a few more kids. And over a period of roughly 5 years, we had fostered about 20 kids. And a couple of the times we fostered, we had 6 kids in our home under the age of 6.
Wow.
And so God had just stretched us to care for a lot of children at one time. And then we found out that there were kids aging out of foster care. Hmm. And so we contacted our agency and said, hey, you know, we had not had any intentions to adopt, but really feel like we could. And, you know, specifically are interested in adopting a young man between the ages of 10 and 15. And so about a week and a half later, our son Brandon moved in forever. And he's now 23. And was with us for a couple years before we opened our home again to foster, and our very next foster care placement was a sibling group of 3 that after a year and a half of working with their family and trying to prioritize reunification, that was not going to be a possibility, and so their family actually asked us if we would adopt the kids. And so we went from a family of, I guess at that time when we adopted our oldest son, we had 3 biological kids, and adopted Brandon and then added those 3. So we had 7, which meant that we couldn't foster anymore because of just the limits on fostering in Texas. And so we started helping families who are in crisis and just serving them and trying to love them well and help their families stabilize and reunify with the children that they had adopted. And the last time we did that, our oldest daughter, who is now 20, moved in, and obviously an incredibly unfortunate situation, but God and just His way of graciousness and making a way for restoration allowed us to adopt our now oldest daughter. And then my wife and I just kind of looked at each other and said, you know what, we love kids, and let's just have one more. So so our kids range in ages from 2 to 23, and God's just done just a really good work because we didn't really set out to, we didn't set out to adopt and didn't set out to have a large family at all. It was really just His plans and opportunities that He brought to us where we felt like any child that came to us that became adoptable, we were responsible for and accountable for, and so felt like we could step into that place even in the midst of some really hard behaviors and some things that came to the surface and the neglect and trauma and abuse that some of the kids that we cared for had suffered. So God's got better plans than we do, and we're thankful for it.
So now you've also ministered and worked with birth parents. So explain how kinship care led to you working with birth families in crisis.
Yeah, we our youngest three that we adopted, and just building a relationship with their birth parents really opened our eyes to some of the cyclical nature of foster care.
Yeah.
And how children who are coming into the foster care system aren't just coming from a family where a mom or dad woke up one morning and out of the blue decided to neglect or abuse their child. That many of these families come from communities or families where abuse and addiction and violence or poverty is just a part of kind of how they've been raised. And so we started to just gain a compassion for them, and it also put in perspective that as we were adopting children, we thought, gosh, we love that you're a member of our family, but we really would like to go upstream and see if we can curtail some of that neglect and abuse that's happening so that children don't have to be adopted, that they can stay with their families, that we can speak truth and exemplify the gospel and restore those families to keep them whole before they ever break down. So that's what really moved our hearts and led us in that direction. And now we're in the process of working with Safe Families for Children and programs like the Positive Parenting Program and things like that, and looking at prevention efforts in our community to ensure that especially single moms, who seem to be really the most vulnerable population when we're looking at birth parents, have the support that they need and have mentors so that there's a safety net and they're not just out there on their own, as well as just our work with youth that are transitioning out of foster care. So there's a lot of those children or those youth, those young adults who age out of foster care, and then they're having kids early in life and lacking some of the structure and stability and things that they need to support their kids, because more and more women specifically are not choosing to abort or place their children for adoption. They're choosing to single parent, and so that is leading to more kids coming into the foster care systems across our country. So we just feel like if the church is serious about orphan care and serious about caring for the vulnerable and responding to those biblical mandates, then we have to be thoughtful about going upstream and meeting some of those needs, as well as our desire to foster and adopt.
Yes, because it's orphan care is more than just adoption and foster care. You referred to going upstream and kind of getting involved with the single moms and the families in crisis before their children end up in the system. That's such an area where the church can come in and have a great impact. In the stream, kids in the system, we definitely need to get involved there. That would look like foster care and adoption. And then you mentioned kids aging out. That's kind of downstream, where kids are aging out of the system. But then what? Then what?
Yeah.
So there's so many ways the church can really get on board, and this is a very vast mission field.
Yeah, certainly. I feel a little bit ashamed, but at the same time, I think it gives me grace with others that really see adoption as maybe the most biblical way to care for orphans. But when we look statistically at the world population of orphans, we know that there are, just based upon what's out there and what is actually tracked, that about 2 out of every 15 children that are considered orphans is actually an orphan, that neither of their parents is living. And so, for us, I say, I felt ashamed, but it took us getting involved in foster care and adoption to wake up to the realities and really the biblical components of the kinsman redeemer and the thought of, Leviticus 25:25 and keeping that family intact amidst their struggles and helping restore that family as being really the most biblical way to approach orphan care. And so that's just become a part of our heart. And, you know, we come across, I was talking to a pastor yesterday who said, you know, we were sharing about some of the things that we're doing to recruit families for the children who are in foster care waiting to be adopted. And he was very excited about that. And I said, you know, let me help you see the full picture of this so that, you know, we're not necessarily just always waiting for these children and to suffer abuse and neglect and then come into foster care and then become available for adoption, but that we're working with these families on the front end and making sure that when possible, you know, as much as it is within our control to love them well and to say, hey, we're the church and we're ready to wrap around you, not just on our own terms and how we perceive it, but right where you're at.
Yes, absolutely. That's it's time that the church rises up on this whole spectrum, this whole stream. So I just want to remind our listeners that this is Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans. To learn more about adoption, foster care, or global orphan care, you can visit us at justicefororphansny.org. My guest today on Orphans No More is Bruce Kendrick, Executive Director of Embrace, a Christian ministry based in Texas, providing services to at-risk kids and families and engaging churches in orphan care. Bruce and his wife Denise are parents to 9 kids, ages 2, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 20, and 23. Did I get that right, Bruce?
You did. You nailed it. Good job.
All right. I take good notes.
Awesome.
Bruce, as you know, when we're all in with God on behalf of the least of these, He begins to open doors and direct our steps in orphan ministry. So you established Embrace in 2007. Tell us how that came about.
Yeah, my wife and I were student pastors there at just a small 100-year-old, 200-member Southern Baptist church in kind of the rural outskirts of Dallas-Fort Worth. And we had been foster parents for several years, and one of the moms of some of our students came to us and really just started imposing help. I mean, she brought over casseroles. She was just curious about the children that were in our home 1 month and then, you know, gone. And, you know, obviously they didn't look like us. And you know, my wife hadn't been pregnant 9 months with those kids. And so there was a lot of just intrigue within our church. And this lady, her name's Cindy Kaufman, came and just started helping, even though we didn't ask. And initially we just thought, oh, casseroles, great. but she eventually, over the months, I think was just receptive to the movement of the Spirit, and she has no background in adoption or foster care or child welfare. She just had 2 biological kids who were graduating from high school and heading off, and I think just kind of considering, like, God, what do you have for me next? And she came to us and said, you know, hey, I've just been watching your family, and, you know, my family's gotten involved in your family, and, you know, would you be interested in starting an orphan care ministry here at the church? And my wife and I just turned to each other and said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea, but what is that? And there weren't a lot of churches doing this kind of ministry at that time. And so we only had a handful of people to really connect with, but God opened doors and connected us with a handful of organizations, including the Christian Alliance for Orphans, as well as a secular organization out of the Minneapolis area called the North American Council on Adoptable Children. And we just started to learn after about a year or so of just kind of falling on our face before God and saying, you know, we don't want to just be well-intentioned people. We're not just interested in volunteering, you know, here and there or doing some nice projects. We want to quantifiably change the face of child welfare and foster care and adoption and, you know, these cycles that are bringing children into foster care. And so we stumbled around for a while and then started to learn some things and develop some programs and get involved. And in 2009, my wife and I were driving back from a student ministry conference at Willow Creek in Chicago, driving back to Dallas. So we had lots of time to talk, but just felt like God was making it clear that if we were serious about this ministry, then we needed to commit ourselves. And so we started raising support. And in 2010, 2009, we became a nonprofit because a lot of the work that we were doing was moving outside of the walls of the church and meeting the needs of those families who had been isolated because their churches either lacked the resources to support or care for them, or maybe they weren't a part of a church at all. And we had the opportunities to exemplify the gospel in their lives and make sure that they were able to sustain the kind of care they were providing for the children that were in their home or coming into their home through foster care.
So the mission of Embrace is to equip the church to reclaim the care of foster, adopted, and orphaned children. How do you do that?
Yeah, we early on just recognized that the church historically had been doing orphan care. You know, we've got examples of that all throughout history. And yet in the past 100 years, you know, we noticed that churches had really, as our denominations had grown and started kind of the larger efforts, that individual churches had started to just outsource ministry to those denominationally affiliated agencies. And it seems like there's a Methodist home or a Baptist home or a Presbyterian home or so on and so forth that had been formed, and the local church had really lost sight of that. And so when we talk to churches, we like to go in and just say, you know, hey, what does this look like at a grassroots level for you? And who are the champions of your church that have a heart for this, that we can bring together and talk about the vision that God's placed in their heart? So we're not necessarily walking in and imposing our vision or our will or our programs or anything on them, but just sitting down with people and consulting at some level to say, hey, here are some foundational principles for what it looks like to care for the needs of these children. And we really see foster and adoptive parents, birth parents, as the primary change agents for the health and well-being, and obviously the, you know, the communication of the gospel to these children. And so we try and invest as much as we can into those families. That's something, that concept is something that was passed down to us from a great ministry in Dallas at Irving Bible Church, at a ministry that's done incredible work over the years called Tapestry.
Yes.
And so we really have just invested in family support as a way to sustain families and ensure that, you know, the small group structure within a church is able to wrap around a family when they get a new foster placement or when they adopt internationally or what have you, or a birth family that's struggling, to wrap around that family and kind of bring them into the body of Christ. And then as we were able to sustain and encourage other churches to support families, you know, we also recognize the need for support groups and things like that outside of the church, just for people to normalize the experience of being a foster adoptive parent, as well as providing some ongoing training for the different parenting skills and things that are needed, as well as just fellowship, just to bring people together and allow relationships to form. But once we had developed that kind of foundation, we've started to get involved now in the past 3 to 5 years in some real diligent recruitment efforts and now transition services and prevention efforts as well.
So listeners can find out more about what Embrace does at your website, embracetexas.org. And you and your family, Bruce, just finished traveling across country. It was called the Hometown Tour, bringing awareness to foster care. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, back in 2010, my wife and I and the Embrace Ministry started an effort across Texas to raise up church-based support groups in virtually every county. And we went down to Houston, and we went to Austin, and we're in Dallas, and some other places, and just trained groups of churches to start support groups, whether that was a collaborative effort or an individual church's effort. And as we were doing that, the Christian Alliance for Orphans asked us to come do that similar workshop and training out at their summit conference each year. And so we went to California, and we went to Louisville, Kentucky, and some different places as they had asked. And as we started to meet people, they said, hey, would you come to Salt Lake City, or would you come to Chicago or wherever it was and put this training on for the churches that we're working with? And we thought, gosh, what a great opportunity. We'd love to do that. It's just really hard with 9 kids to try and knock that, out and do that bits at a time. And we just were in our kitchen one day and dreamed up the concept of renting our house out for the year and taking our large family on the road and pulling a 35-foot travel trailer with our 12-passenger van. And we, this past year, traveled to roughly 25 cities and worked with over 300 churches, just equipping them with kind of that foundational piece of how do we support foster and adoptive families? How do we get a ministry off the ground in that way? And then we look forward to just some of the relationships and partnerships that we built as we traveled going back in years to come, or finding ways to continue to invest in those churches and in those efforts as the church rises up.
That is incredible. 9 kids, 25 cities, 300 churches, 1 year on the road.
Yeah.
And everybody survived.
Yeah. It was an incredible adventure. Yeah, there's been lots of just shenanigans, and one of our sons had to get stitches twice, and just living in a travel trailer is an adventure in itself.
Yeah.
So, but it was a blast, and it was amazing how quickly you can acclimate to a much smaller space and really prioritize what you do actually need versus
yes.
just all the stuff that we had accumulated in 15 years of marriage and growing our family. So we were able to get that all out. I like to reference the fact that within about a week of being in the camper, I'm cleaning out all this stuff that we had brought with us and recognized that we had over 10 pairs of nail clippers, which I think just goes to show just, you know, how easy it is to accumulate stuff and not be able to get rid of it or not have the time to get rid of it. And so this was a great opportunity for us to hit that reset button.
Oh, incredible. So, Bruce, as we wrap up, what is really on your heart for listeners to hear today?
Sure. Yeah, I think two things that God's just impressed upon me recently. One is that we spend a lot of time, and I get this from a couple different sources. Our pastor, we're part of a church plant that got started about 3 years ago, and he was talking to a guy who's a church planter out of India, and this Indian pastor had come over and said, gosh, you Americans really like to get everything, all the details, all the, you know, the I's dotted and the T's crossed before you do anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you just trust in the Lord and have faith as he has called us to have faith, he is going to be faithful. You know, you can work out a lot of those details along the way. And I think in the same way, both in orphan care ministry and in just foster and adoptive parenting, we spend a lot of time almost praying ourselves out of the center of God's will. And so I want to encourage people to both be wise and seek counsel, but I think, really embrace a sense of urgency for the needs of the children that are waiting now. I mean, we have 100,000 kids in the United States waiting to be adopted now, and scores more than that of children who are really on that path of having to be removed. And so the opportunity is there. It really is just a matter of us being obedient and stepping out in faith and moving forward. The other thing that strikes me is we understand that not every family is going to foster or adopt, and that's reasonable. I think not everyone is equipped to or in a place in life to, maybe. However, we do have really just the biblical mandates of what it means to be a Christian, to care for the least of these, to care for the orphan and the widow. And so we want to really share the message that it is just as vital for the 5% of people maybe within a given church who open their homes to foster and adopt, to get engaged and to move forward, as it is for those 95% of people to wrap around families and to work with birth parents and to become CASAs and to become champions and advocates, or to give and help support those efforts, or those families who are adopting internationally or bringing home children who have special medical needs or behavioral needs or therapeutic needs. It is just vital that 95% get engaged and understand that their role is crucial.
That's right. There's something for every one of us to do. And it's urgent that we don't wait for the perfect time for us, but there are there's 100,000 kids waiting in the U.S. to be adopted. So it's critical time for them, and as well as the nearly 400,000 kids in foster care across the U.S. So it is time for each one of us to step up and play our part. So, Bruce, I just want to thank you for all that you are doing on behalf of children in foster care and kids who need to be adopted and vulnerable kids. And I also want to remind our listeners about Orphan Sunday. I know you're familiar with Orphan Sunday. It is November 13th this year. We want every church to get it on their church calendar. You're a coordinator in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, correct?
I am.
You are. And I am a coordinator here in New York. Orphan Sunday is the perfect way for local churches to begin this conversation about foster care and adoption. If your church really isn't doing anything yet, or if maybe there's one adoptive family or maybe one family doing foster care, Orphan Sunday is a perfect opportunity, a perfect time for the church to begin to have this conversation. I know here in New York, I'd love to come to your church on November 13th or anytime to talk about God's heart for the orphan. I know that's something that Bruce does as well, right? You're spreading the word there in Texas.
Yeah.
So I just want to let our listeners know that they can learn more about Orphan Sunday at orphansunday.org and more about Bruce's website for his ministry, Embrace. You can go to embracetexas.org. And again, Bruce, I just want to thank you for being with us today and for sharing your story and for everything that you're doing on behalf of vulnerable children and families.
Thanks. We certainly appreciate the opportunity just to continue to raise awareness and put this in front of God's people.
Absolutely. And that's what we're on the mission here to do at Justice for Orphans as well. So you can also check out our website if you want to learn more about adoption, foster care, global orphan care, anything that we talked about here today. Again, you can visit my website at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.